versus Metropolitan Property and Casualty. Counsel, how much rebuttal time?
4 minutes, Your Honor.
All right. Proceed.
May it please the Court, Eric Newman on behalf of Appellant Metropolitan. As the Court's aware, the standard review in this case is abuse of discretion, and I want to focus my argument on two instances where the Court below abused its discretion.
Well, let's get a handle on what's going on. As the trial court pleadings presently exist, what affirmative claim is alleged against your client?
As they exist now.
Right now, as we stand here today, as the trial court pleadings presently exist, what affirmative claim is alleged against your client?
That my client, that the damages caused by the underlying tortfeasor exceeded the policy limits.
The complaint doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that, but.
Well, so that's back to Judge Dwyer's question. What exact language in the pleadings state allegations against MetLife as the UIM-UM carrier?
Well, all of the allegations that are in the pleadings against the underlying tortfeasor or against MetLife as well?
Because no, they're not. They're not alleged that way, are they? Does the complaint read that way?
No, but the Fisher v. Allstate case says
no, Fisher v. Allstate says something else entirely different. So have you stated any affirmative claims on behalf of your client against the plaintiff in the underlying action?
No.
Okay. So we have a lawsuit where nobody's suing anybody, right?
No, Your Honor.
Nobody has any claim against anybody in this lawsuit.
But I don't think that the complaint actually has to specifically state that it is against Metropolitan.
Could the trial court enter judgment against you on the pleadings as they exist today?
Absolutely, yes.
How?
Your Honor, Fisher v. Allstate says that in a UIM situation, the UIM carrier can intervene and must intervene. Otherwise, whatever action taken by the court in the underlying lawsuit.
I understand all of that. Are we getting close to the point where you answer my question? How would the court enter judgment against your client based on the pleadings as they are alleged today?
Because what the court would say, if you're asking, if we went all the way through trial.
No, today. On the pleadings today, if there was a motion for default based on your terrible sanctionable conduct or any other reason that would give rise to a default, but if there was a motion for default in the trial court today based on the pleadings as they exist today, could the trial court enter judgment against your client?
Yes.
How?
The trial court could make a determination of the amount of damages, make a determination of amount.
The plaintiff hasn't asked for that, not against you.
But they have asked for damages arising out of the car accident.
Against the other party.
Right.
Right. That's resolved. That's not in your case anymore.
Your Honor, I see where you're going with this, and
I'm quite serious about this. We're not just fencing here. You're in a lawsuit because you asked to be in the lawsuit, right? You intervened.
Correct.
So the trial court said, give you what you want. Have you ever made a motion for you to be dismissed out of the lawsuit?
No.
Okay. So you're in a lawsuit because you asked to be in the lawsuit. You've never asked to be out of the lawsuit. There's no claim alleged against your client for which judgment could be entered against you. Why are we in the Washington State Court of Appeals spending society's money dealing with this issue? How are you aggrieved?
Your Honor, at this point, there is a lawsuit pending because the...
But there's no claim against you.
So if that is the case, Your Honor, then vacating the previous dismissal should not have happened.
I'm not saying that whether it... my point is whether it should have or whether it shouldn't makes no difference. And so why are you here? How are you aggrieved? I know what's happened is you have a theory that you can cut off a UIM claim as a result of this dismissal, and that has resulted in action on the other side. I totally get how this came about. We don't have to resolve whether or not you're correct on your underlying theory, although I'm 100% convinced that you're not. But the fact is, you can only be here if you're aggrieved by something the trial court did. And we're I guess you've reserved some time for rebuttal, so we're 4 minutes into this, and I haven't heard anything about how you were aggrieved. You asked to be in the lawsuit. The trial court let you in the lawsuit. You never asked to get out of a lawsuit, and so you're still there, and there's no claim alleged against you. Why are we spending all of society's money that's taken up in this trying to get you out of the situation that you never asked the trial court to get you out of?
The trial court dismissed the claim. My whole point in
not at your request,
but
not at your request,
not at my request. Yeah. The trial court dismissed the claim against Metropolitan.
No, they didn't dismiss the claim against Metropolitan. There was no claim against Metropolitan. They dismissed you as a party. You asked to come in as a party,
as a defendant.
Well, I don't care which party you were. And then you came in and you didn't make an affirmative claim against anybody, and no one's made an affirmative claim against you. So now you're back as a party, which is what you wanted to begin with, and still nobody's suing anybody in this lawsuit. So why in the world are we doing this?
Your Honor, if Metropolitan intervened as a defendant, the claims were dismissed. There was a motion to vacate that judgment with respect to Metropolitan.
Right, I get all that.
I fought against that motion, so I don't think there should be a claim against Metropolitan.
There is no claim. There's just a caption. There's a caption that says you're a party. That's all there is.
But if that were the case, then in an intervention case, if an intervening defendant were not a true defendant.
You can gather your thoughts and come back in the 4 minutes or whatever it is that you've reserved.
Corey Yaklik for Allison Comini.
Does the UIM clause in this case require resolution by arbitration?
No. It could be by arbitration or, I think, arbitration or by trial.
Okay. So have you asserted
no
a claim in the trial court asking for it to be resolved?
No.
Have you requested of the insurer that the claim be, the potential UIM claim, be resolved in by any way other than by agreement?
No.
So there has not yet accrued a cause of action for breach of the UIM contract?
That's correct.
So you're still sitting at N minus one of the 6-year statute of limitation?
Right. Right. I'm embarrassed.
How are you harmed? How are you harmed by removing people from the status as plaintiffs or defendants in a lawsuit where nobody's suing anybody?
We're not harmed.
This all came about because you were trying to cut off a potential avenue from the insurer? Is that what this is about?
We had resolved the claims with the third party.
Did we get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was no ulterior motive or strategic theory.
No, and then you're confronted with a contention that you dismissed all claims, so that must have included the UIM claim.
That's correct.
So therefore you go back to the trial court and say, put us back where we were, at least the two of us.
That's correct.
And where the two of you are is nobody suing anybody.
Right.
And you, in fact, don't have a cause of action yet because they've never refused to resolve the case by either trial or arbitration.
That's correct. Right.
So you couldn't, as you're standing here, actually assert a claim against them.
That's right. We haven't.
So we've got the case where not only is nobody suing anybody, but nobody can.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure how I'm spending my money.
So then we wondered, and why bring, you brought a motion to vacate under CR 60B1, arguing mistake and inadvertence, and under 60A,
correct,
because you've got the Shaw case that says when a clerk dismisses, that's clerical. So I guess it's awkward, but...
Yes, I agree.
So you prevailed, and I think Judge Dwyer is right. So all you have is an existing cause number with your clients named as plaintiffs, and now, even though the caption's never been amended,
right,
MetLife is, as the intervener, a party, so it's the defendant, even though we've never seen that in any of these pleadings, right, except through intervention. And as Judge Dwyer states, there's no claim, right?
Right.
So you just have a cause number sitting out there in Snohomish County.
Right. So I guess the process should be that we should amend the complaint.
But you don't, but as established, you don't have to.
Right. No, we don't have to.
Because you don't have you're not ready to pursue,
right,
a cause of action against MetLife. I mean, it's clear from the pleadings that you, on behalf of your client, were engaged in exchanging discovery and information, trying to resolve the UIM coverage issue with MetLife. But
we hadn't gotten to the point of needing to,
right,
be in a lawsuit.
Well, if you asserted the claim, the correct motion on behalf of Metropolitan would be to seek dismissal for failure to state a claim because they've not refused to resolve the UIM claim yet, so
that's
your cause,
right,
of action hasn't occurred.
That's right.
So nobody's suing anybody, and nobody can.
So maybe what should have happened would be that, when the court granted your motion to vacate, I guess there should have been a clarification that it was without prejudice to later filing a lawsuit against MetLife, rather than having this,
right,
caption with no named defendant with no claim.
Right, right.
You know, in 12 months, the clerk's going to send you another letter that says there's
no action taken
on this case where nobody's suing anybody.
That's right.
You want
in Snohomish County, they'll wonder what's going on.
Yeah.
You probably are just anxious to spend a lot of resources and prove your damages right now in court and get a judgment against them in case they deny the claim, right?
I'm anxious to just get this to mediation and get it.
10 minutes can be a long time, can't it?
Yes, it can. I actually think I'm done. Unless there are other questions.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Your Honors have made pretty clear how you feel about the case, and I'm not making light of that at all. I understand where you're coming from. I disagree with your position, but you have stated what it is.
So why don't you tell us why you disagree with our position?
Well,
because maybe we're wrong.
Well, this issue wasn't briefed, so I'm not fully prepared to explain, but I can tell you that the Fisher v. Allstate case does specifically say...
That's the case.
What's that?
The Fisher case is the case that you're relying on.
Among others, like I said, this wasn't briefed. I didn't realize this was going to be an issue... So it wasn't briefed by either party. So I would encourage you to allow additional briefing on it. We don't have to come back and talk about it again, but I think it would be worthwhile.
So you want additional briefing about the appeal on the case where nobody's suing anybody and nobody can.
But I could tell you that there's a case called Fairfield v. Brinion, and it says once a party is permitted to intervene, it is as much a party to that action as the parties who originally appeared in the
action.
All
right, counsel, but you agreed that they could settle with the defendant, so that's out. So at this point, do we go to a damages trial between the two of you? You haven't turned down a claim for UIM coverage. But if you deny it, maybe the issues can be joined and the pleadings amended.
During the settlement discussions, after the case was settled, but before, and this is in the record, during the settlement discussions, after it was dismissed but before it was vacated, it was made clear that it was Metropolitan's position that she had been fully compensated by the underlying claim.
Okay. But has there been a request to either to resolve the impasse by either an arbitration proceeding as provided in the contract or to request the court for a trial as provided in the contract? And have you said, no, we won't do that?
As there's not been a request for arbitration and the policy...
Because the lawsuit would be for a breach of contract, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's got to actually be an allegation that you breached. and that would be by refusing to engage in resolving the dispute some way pursuant to the contract. And that hasn't happened.
I think what has happened is that Metropolitan is, as its right under Fisher, has stepped into the shoes of the underlying defendant.
Right. You intervened in that lawsuit. We get that. But that claim's gone. So that which you intervened in doesn't exist. So it's just you and them in the caption.
But if that were the case, if this were another lawsuit and we had gone all the way to trial, and while the jury was out, plaintiff settled with the underlying with Mr. Anguiano.
Right.
Then. If this is the rule we're going to have, Metropolitan has to do the entire case over.
Yeah.
And the whole point of intervening is through joinder of the UI amateur, society is benefited by the efficiency of judicial economy. The insured is benefited by the elimination of multiple...
You can only resolve a claim in court that has accrued.
It has accrued. Dispute is about the value of the claim that she brought against Mr.
The contract is about that. That's what your contract is about.
But we know what the contract says. There is a dispute.
And the contract says if this is disputed, then it has to be resolved according to this contract.
Right.
Right?
But
and then when that happens, if you say yes, then you either arbitrate or you go to court, whatever your contract provides, or you say no, we refuse to do that, in which case then they sue you for breaching the contract. Either way, then we've got issues joined that can go forward.
But those are issues that could be resolved later. The only issue in this case is the value of the claim, and that the value of the claim can be decided on the initial pleadings. That's the only issue. We know what the contract says. We know if the value of the claim is more than the insurance, then they owe, and if it's less, then they don't. That issue is available under
you
the current.
But we don't know what kind of a claim you're even talking about. We don't know whether we're talking about a breach of contract claim for Metropolitan refusing to decide the case pursuant to the insurance contract, or whether we're dealing with the contract provision assertion in the trial court. So we don't even know what claim that would be because we haven't got there yet.
Right, but the current lawsuit can decide the amount of damages, and that's the only question to be decided.
Okay. We each comprehend the other's position.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have any interest in my looking to see if there is some explanation about how to handle this? And I will tell you that if I think it's close, I won't send you briefing. But if there's some authority out there, I think it's worth looking at.
At this point, counsel, supplemental authority would be appropriate. Supplemental briefing would not be. If we change our minds in light of supplemental authority, you'll be notified.
I think that's an excellent way to handle it. Thank you.
Thank you.